Thank you. Blessed be God, most holy, glorious, and undivided Trinity.
And blessed be God's reign, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Jesus, the true bread that comes down from heaven, leaven us with your Holy Spirit, that the world may know the abundance of life in your new creation.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Genesis. The same night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans, and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Please join in reading from Psalm 17, antiphonally, by whole verse. Those seated on this side will read the verses in bold, while those on the choir side will read the verses not in bold. Hear my plea of innocence, O God. Give heed to my cry. Listen to my prayer, which does not come from lying lips.
Let my vindication come forth from your presence. Let your eyes be fixed on justice.
Weigh my heart. Summon me by night. Melt me down. You will find no impurity in me.
I give no offense with my mouth as others do. I have heeded the words of your lips.
My footsteps hold fast to the ways of your law. In your paths, my feet shall not stumble.
I call upon you, O God, for you will answer me. Incline your ear to me and hear my words.
Show me your marvelous loving kindness, O Savior of those who take refuge at your right hand from those who rise up against them.
But at my vindication, I shall see your face. When I awake, I shall be satisfied, beholding your likeness.
A reading from the letter to the Romans. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, comes the Messiah, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Jesus withdrew to a deserted place by himself. Have you ever gone off somewhere to be alone, to get some peace and quiet, and then been hit by the uncomfortable truth that you brought yourself with you? Last week, I had the privilege of going on a brief retreat to St. Columba's Retreat Center in Inverness. The center is attached to the local Episcopal Church, and I was able to attend a discussion group on just war theory and an evening meditation program. But most of the time I was there, I was alone and keeping silence. One of the things that struck me is how loud the voices in my head get when I am trying to be silent. On Wednesday, I took a short hike downhill to a beautiful deserted beach. And unlike Jesus, I did not have any clamoring crowds following me. I got to be really by myself. And yet the whole hike down the hill, I experienced an onslaught of nagging worries. I kept thinking about how the return hike was going to be all uphill and much harder. Would it be too hot? Did I have enough water? Why hadn't I brought my hiking poles and worn different shoes? Once on the beach, it took some effort to shush those worried, anxious voices and just listen to the waves and enjoy the splendid beauty and the rare experience of solitude. Sometimes I'm a lot of work, even for myself. That evening, after a time of contemplative prayer, I went back to reread today's gospel passage, slowly, line by line. My first response to reading about Jesus going off alone was to berate myself for not being more like Jesus. I bet Jesus didn't get in his own way or waste precious time worrying about the hike back or his choice of footwear. Sheesh. And then I read the next line, reminding me that when Jesus looked out and saw the anxious, clamoring crowd, Jesus had compassion on them. And just like that, I felt better. In that moment of retreat, I saw that my own thoughts and worries were like the clamoring crowd, and I decided to have compassion on them. In other words, to have compassion on me. I figured if Jesus could do it, I could at least give it a try. After all, if we don't practice self-compassion, most of us won't have the inner resources we need to extend compassion to others. Jesus withdrew to a deserted place by himself. I imagine that most of the time when we read this passage, we want to get right to the miracle, to the feeding of the 5,000, which is what we usually call this story, even though there were more than 5,000 people there because that doesn't count the women or children. It can be helpful to slow down, though, to get through the whole story and to ask questions along the way. Why, for example, did Jesus withdraw to be by himself? It turns out it's because he has just learned about the death of his cousin, John the Baptist. And John didn't die a natural or easy death. He was violently executed for petty political reasons. John and Jesus were closely associated, both by family connections and because of their public ministries. So Jesus was not only dealing with grief and loss, he was also seeing clearly, and perhaps for the first time, where his own ministry would inevitably lead him to death on the cross. How striking that this famous story of a miraculous feeding happens in the context of such a fraught and frightening time for Jesus. Sometimes in my own life, it takes a crisis to remind me that I need to get some time away. And sometimes the thing I think is a distraction turns out to be the way I most need to be fed and nourished, even if it looks a lot like feeding others. Jesus withdrew to a deserted place by himself. It can be helpful with a passage like the one we have today, one that is so familiar, to use our imaginations to fill in the details. A deserted place is another way of saying wilderness sometimes. It's not necessarily desolate or severe. It's just any place that was not already claimed by people and the trappings of civilization. Maybe you can fill in the missing details by imagining Jesus in one of your own favorite deserted places. It's funny, really. We call Jesus the firstborn of all creation, the one through whom all things were made. And yet we seldom think deeply about his relationship with creation during his earthly life, or about his own particular sense of place. We know Jesus loved certain people, had specific and special relationships. Why wouldn't he also have certain places he knew and loved? Wendell Berry, the beloved poet, essayist, novelist, and lifelong farmer, has said this about the love of place. "I do not mean any kind of abstract love, which is probably a contradiction in terms, but particular love for particular things, places, creatures, and people. This love implies a responsibility just as particular, not grim or merely dutiful, but rising out of generosity. Particular love for particular things, places, creatures, and people. A responsibility rising out of generosity." That is what life with Jesus offers us, because that is what filled up the life of Jesus day after day. When he healed people, he healed them as individual, particular human beings, knowing exactly what it was that was wounded or broken or hurting. When he fed people, he fed them with love and compassion, not as hungry masses who could be sent away to buy supper somewhere else, but as individual, particular human beings who yearned to break bread together, to be his companions on the way, if only for a little while. Perhaps, even though Jesus was followed by this clamoring crowd, the place to which he withdrew was already working its magic on him when he set foot out of the boat. Maybe just being there, wherever it was enough to give him the strength and endurance he needed in order to turn outward once again, to see beyond his own grief and loss and fear, and to recognize the needs of those who were following him. Maybe before he broke the bread, he gave thanks not only for the food itself, not only for the generosity of those who shared it, but for the very earth that made it possible. I don't know about you, but when I dwell on this story, I tend to find it easier to imagine myself as the crowd, the anxious and hungry and tired crowd, than as Jesus. But the world needs us to stand in the place of Jesus right now, to be people of peace and healing and welcome. Our world is crying out for places of compassion. We may feel that we can't possibly respond to those cries, that we're not up to the task, that we are simply not enough. But the 5 loaves and 2 fish weren't enough either until God said that they were. We can hear this gospel story and focus on the miracle of so many being fed by so little. But we can also look at the larger miracle, the miracle of existence itself, of beautiful places that sustain and encourage us, and the everyday miracles of following Jesus, of breaking bread together, of living in companionship and generosity, and of meeting one another's needs with the healing balm of compassion and love. Amen.
Let us affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified and was not just Pilate.
Let us pray for the church and for the world.
We pray for all who lead the church, including bishops, deacons, priests, and lay people. We pray that your church may hunger and thirst after righteousness. May your church seek to care for and feed the hungry in spirit. Lord, you are the bread of life.
Feed us now and evermore.
We remember before you all who are hungry, those who suffering from famine, poverty, or war, all whose lives are diminished through malnutrition and neglect. Let the harvests of our world be neither hoarded nor squandered. Lord, you open your hands and satisfy the needs of every creature. Lord, you are the bread of life.
Feed us now and evermore.
We give thanks for those who have fed us and cared for us. We remember all who have shown compassion and tenderness. Lord, bless our loved ones, our homes, and our communities. Fill our deep longing for you with your presence and peace. Lord, you are the bread of life.
Feed us now and evermore.
Lord, have mercy on all who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit. We pray for all who feel drained and empty, all who have no energy or strength. Lord, have compassion on the weak, the weary, and the helpless. We come to you for renewal, refreshment, and hope. We pray especially for those on our parish prayer list. Lord, you are the bread of life.
Feed us now and evermore.
We give thanks for those who no longer hunger or thirst, for they have been refreshed in your kingdom. May we look forward to the day when we share with them in the glory which is everlasting. We pray for the repose of the soul of the Right Reverend Jerry A. Lamb and for his family and friends who mourn. Lord, you are the bread of life.
Feed us now and evermore.
God, our rock and refuge, keep us safe in your care and strengthen us with your grace, that we may pray to you faithfully and love one another boldly, following the example of Jesus, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives forever and ever.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins to God.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of our Savior Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. You may be seated for the announcements. We have not only our usual yellow announcement sheet, but also an extra sheet that has some of our upcoming events. You can see that there's a lot going on in August, even before mid-September, when we usually sort of start the program year. It's good to keep track of all these good things going on right now. Today, after church, you will want to be sure to stick around. We have this really cool talk coming up. Ben Eustace Guthrie is going to talk about, well, it's an adult forum on science and faith, called Why Pythagoras Was Right, and he already lost me in the title, but I am going to be there, and I'm going to be really excited and listening really hard, and I hope everyone can turn out for that. And then later today, because you'll want to be inside because it's very hot. You can come back at 4 o'clock. I'll make sure we have the air conditioning on. And there's a mini recital for voice and piano with Pierre, Sarah, and Mark. And it's going to be great. And I hope that you will join us for that as well. There's a lot more sort of schedule information here in the yellow sheet. Next, let's see, what is August 6th? Is that Thursday? August 6th, the Green Team is meeting on Zoom. We're trying to kind of start something up again that used to be called the Care for God's Creation Committee. We hope Green Team is a little easier to remember. And we have some exciting plans for that. So we hope people will show up for that as well. Lots more information in here. Next Sunday, we're back to the 8 and the 10 o'clock, but we also have these extra services that we've started. So there's today is next Sunday. There's Pizza Church later in the month. So please do keep track of all of these fun things we have going on. There is in here a little announcement about the death of Right Reverend Jerry A. Lamb, who was a bishop here in this diocese and was well known by many people here at St. Martin's. At the time of printing, the information about when the service would be held wasn't out. That is available now, and it's in late August. I don't want to give the details in case I get it wrong, but we will be sharing that all on all of our regular ways that we share information. So please keep an eye out for that. I see that our ushers are up here. They have blue welcome bags. These are for anyone who is new or visiting. There's no strings attached to them, but there's chocolate inside them. So it's worth it to raise your hand and say that you would like a welcome bag if you would do so. I feel like there's something else. Oh, I was going to talk about, somebody asked why we have the orange stoles. So orange is not really a liturgical color in the usual sense of our seasonal colors, but it is a color that was put forward by the Bishops United Against Gun Violence to wear when we're marking an experience of gun violence or a mass shooting. And this past week, there were at least two that I know of. There was one in Seattle and then one yesterday sometime in Idaho. So orange is the color that was chosen for this purpose because it's the color that hunters wear when they're out during the hunting season and they do not want to be a target, to make it clear that they, so that they don't get shot by other hunters, they wear orange, and so that was the reason for this color. So unfortunately, it's something we do a fair amount. We probably could find a reason to do it almost every week, and we really, really pray that we can, as a church and as a people, work to end gun violence. So I think that was, we just had the one, no, we had more celebrations and milestones, didn't we? Okay.
It's Annabelle's birthday.
Yes, Annabelle's birthday. That's my daughter. She's not here, but her birthday is today. And then, Margaret, you said something else, didn't you? Oliver's here. And Sarah, that's what it is. Sorry, it's on the tip of my tongue. We're so happy always to have Oliver here with us, and Sarah, and I understand you guys are newlyweds, and so congratulations about that. And of course, Susanna and Jeffrey are back as well. I'm sorry?
Yes. Oliver has started his new job.
Oh, Oliver.
I'm working at Trinity Lutheran Church in Ann Arbor.
Oh, wow, congratulations. This is so, yeah. That's great. And I'm sure you're gonna want to spend any vacation time you have here, you know, like why, oh, there's Ben. Third wedding anniversary, oh. And Sarah? Oh. Oh, we're gonna miss you guys. Yeah. You'll see in the announcement about Ben's talk that Ben and Sarah are moving to New York City. And so, oh my gosh, that's going to be, is it somebody else's last? James. Oh, it's,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Sarah's thing. Y'all have been a great community and definitely one of the highlights of my college education.
Oh.
So,
I'll be back.
Don't worry.
We're so sad to see you go, but we know that we get to follow along with your adventures because we're going to all sign up for your blog and be hearing about all the wonderful things that you're doing. Oh, this is a tough one, you guys. We're losing some of our, it's part of being a college university town is that people are here for a season and they get something wonderful from being in Davis and then they move on to do other things, but oh, it's tough. We're going to miss you guys, really. So, all right. Are those our celebrations and milestones? Okay. If you turn to page, what page is it? 5. In your bulletin, we say this prayer together. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We have communion around the altar rail, and everyone is welcome to come forward. The ushers will help you know when it's time to take your place. And you can stand or kneel at the altar rail. And when the bread comes, if you leave it in your hand, that means you're waiting for someone to come with the chalice to offer you wine. They will dip it and give it back to you. If you consume it right away, then you can drink from the chalice, or you can cross your arms indicating you'd just like to receive a prayer or a blessing. If that was confusing, just watch the people around you. We're all very nice about it. And everyone is welcome to receive communion. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, sustainer of the universe.
Glory to you forever and ever.
At your command, all things came to be, shining light and enfolding dark, the vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home. By your will, they were created and have their being. From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with the capacity for memory, reason, and skill. You made us stewards of your creation.
Glory to you forever and ever.
But we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another. Again and again you called us to return. Through prophets and sages you revealed your righteous law. In the fullness of time you sent your Son, born of a woman, to be our Savior. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. By his death, he opened to us the way of freedom and peace.
Glory to you forever and ever.
Therefore, we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. Blessed are you, Lord our God, for sending us Jesus, the Christ, who on the night before he was handed over to suffering and death, took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming.
Glory to you forever and ever.
Therefore, we who have been redeemed by Jesus Christ and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Sanctify us also, and let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name.
Glory to you forever and ever.
Pour out your Spirit upon the whole earth and make it your new creation. Gather your church together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom, where peace and justice are revealed, that we, with all your people of every language, race, and nation, may share the banquet you have promised. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, All honor and glory are yours, Creator of all.
Glory to you forever and ever. Amen.
And now, first in Spanish and then in English, we pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación, y líbranos del mal. Porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder, y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen.
Alleluia! Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Glory, glory.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of Christ and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Savior. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Life is short, and we do not have much time to gladden the hearts of those who walk the way with us. So be swift to love and make haste to be kind. And the blessing of the triune God, who made us, who loves us, and who travels with us, be with you now and forever.
Peace to love and serve the Lord.